Hello and welcome to the EDH Rec Room. This is a place for some more casual discussion about Commander, and I'm joined, as always, by my fantastic co-hosts, Matt. How you doing, man?
Well, I'm doing pretty fantastic. I would make a dad joke, but I don't make any jokes at Dana's expense, as he's the only only true father here, and it is his episode.
I will say, it is hilarious to me that dad jokes have become such a staple of our show, and you, the one who introduces them, you're not a dad, so it's just like, that's just your humor.
I'm not a dad, no.
That's just, you the puntastic humor man, I love it. Anyway, I'm also joined by Dana. Hi, Dana.
How's it going? Now that we've gotten the original frames back from Time Spiral, I'm kind of anticipating the Alpha Corners making a comeback. just to throw things for a loop.
I'd rather not, personally. That's just a personal thing. So yeah, fellas, we are here rounding out our small Rec Room series of our signature styles, where we've just kind of wanted to get to know a little bit more about what attracts us each to the type of deck building that we love doing. We talked about Matt's love of aggro decks, my love of the best strategy ever. Objectively, this is not a personal opinion. This is an objective truth. Necromancy decks, Reanimator's the best. And now, Dana, I guess it's your turn. We can talk about whatever it is that you do. It's not Reanimator, so I'm sure it's not all that interesting, right?
I'm curious to see what that signature style actually is, because I'm not entirely sure myself.
I am surprised to hear you say that. I feel like there's only one word that describes your deck building habits, man, and that's the word hipster.
Sure, I guess. That very much describes the decks themselves, absolutely.
The decks themselves. Matt, how would you describe it?
I would say if I had to use one specific word, I would use that word, specific. Everything about Dana's decks, like if you look at them, they're doing one thing and they're doing it all out. Like they're just diving into that one very specific thing, and they just happen to be doing it very, very well.
Yeah. So Dana, familiarize everyone with the types of decks that you play, your favorites in among your stable of decks. What do you got going on? Illuminate for us.
So I tend to kind of build with a concept first. So I take an idea that I want to do for the most part, and then try to figure out what I can do to build that deck around it. And I also tend to try to make sure I do that with a commander that isn't popular. I do have a couple decks that I built years ago that are kind of still in the stable that I'm guessing you're going to tease me about that are more popular than others. But like for the most part, when I'm building something these days, I just built a Adriana Captain of the Guard Boros deck recently, and I kind of knew what I wanted to do with the deck. So when I decided I wanted to build that in Boros, I basically like looked at the list. I'm like, okay, what are the top 20 Boros commanders? Because I'm not going to use those. And went down the list after that to figure out what would work for the concept I wanted to build around. So that tends to be how I brew, is coming up with an idea first and finding the commander that fits it later.
That is also definitely the thing I would say, is just that you definitely build from the inside out, it sort of feels like. And your signature decks at this point, I would say, like Recce, the History of Kamigawa, Mono Green, Legend Fall Man, Vela as well, your artifact deck in blue and black. You've got a Mono White Super Friends, which, like, can we just stop right there with your Jeru with Eyes Open deck? Mono White Super Friends. Like, Super Friends is an insanely popular strategy, and you're like, let me find the jankiest version of what that could be. Like,
yeah, well, and that was very much like seeing the Jeru was spoiled and being like, well, that's a card that's not going to be any use as a commander unless you build Mono White Super Friends. And then the next thought was, well, I mean, I guess you could do that. Why not?
Yeah, why not? And so here, I pulled up a handful of numbers just to highlight the specificity, the hipsterness, because you mentioned you like to avoid the things that are super popular. But let's go through some of those examples. So you've got Recce, for example, who at maximum right now has like 228 decks, according to EDHREC. We compare that to the most popular green commander that currently exists on the site. That's Gargos with 1,400-ish. So that's the level of disparity that we're talking about. Actually, right. here's a bigger one. Most popular Dimir commander is Eureka with over 4,000 decks. Your blue-black deck, Vela, has 241. Total. And it's just like, oh, okay. Gruul, you also have a Mina and Den deck, I know. The most popular Gruul commander is Omnath with about 1,500 decks, and your Mina and Den deck has barely 300 right now. And it's just like, that is the level that you're going at, where you are finding the non-obvious route and you're taking that one. Like when you're like, Gruul Landfall, Mina and Den is what I'm going to do. Screw Omnath. Too many people have built him because you're allergic to playing against decks that you have, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. So, okay. So I've been thinking about this and I have, there's two explanations for it. The first one is the main reason I'm attracted to Commander in the first place is it's the one format I feel like where you can kind of express creativity through deck building. And still win. I mean, you can do that in any format, I guess, but you're going to get crushed if you try to, you know, show off your personal flair in Modern and show up with that deck to a tournament. But in Commander, you can actually build something that's kind of interesting and is an expression of something creative and still win games. So like that to me is an important part of the format. And that also is an important part of why I build decks. However, it's not entirely just that, because if I'm being honest, there's also an ego component to it where it's much more satisfying for me to win a game with a relatively obscure commander that I've built in a strange way than it is to win with a really popular commander. So if I'm being honest, that's absolutely part of it, is it's a way for me to kind of flex ego a little bit, for sure.
Well, and one thing that I would say, and just take that a step further, even if you do kind of build along the beaten path for a certain commander, like I think your Kresh the Bloodbraided deck is like peak example of this. You put so many restrictions on yourself. You're not playing the de facto best cards. You're playing stuff like Awakening of V2 Ghazi, that commander staple that it is. Like you're finding all these ways to maybe not play the Doubling Season, like the obvious things. You're taking it a step further. In the whole restrictions breed creativity, that like the self-imposed restrictions that you put on literally every single deck I've ever seen you create creates so many creative decks. And like you're finding ways, and it's not like you're playing bad decks either. Like you find ways to make Realm Seekers an absolute like must answer type of card. And that's one thing, just playing games with you, it's always just, it's crazy to see like you find Simulacrum and then you make it a powerhouse card. And that card doesn't even do what the actual card itself
right.
says. And to clarify, because everyone heard the word Simulacrum and probably thought Solemn Simulacrum, we're not talking about that.
No, we are not talking Sad Robot.
We're talking about a card called Simulacrum, which we don't know what it does. Dana still, like, the card's text doesn't do what the card's ability actually is. That's how old it is. It has been errated to heck.
But that is right. That is Dana's deck building to a T, though.
Yes, and you telling me that is an ego boost in and of itself. So, I mean, mission accomplished, I guess, for sure. But that is a lot of fun for me, too. And I guess it's not just ego, too. It's also fun for me to find those things, like doing that weird Scryfall search, trying to find, you know, I didn't just know Simulacrum would work in that Veto Life Gain deck that I have. I figured that out because I was digging through Scryfall, doing specific keyword searches, trying to find things, and the Oracle text happened to be a hit. So like that is also fun for me. I get a lot of enjoyment from brewing decks in a way. For me, that's part of the game. That's something that comes with the experiences, is doing those deep dives and finding those cards.
And you're not even sacrificing power either. Like you're finding ways to be creative, but still win games. And I think that's kind of a point in the deck building process that I think a lot of people come across, and they kind of get discouraged. They think I can't win without XYZ cards. And you're like, nope, I'm going to win anyways. I'm going to find a way to do it.
Yeah. And dude, don't get me wrong. I do run plenty of, you know, quote unquote staples. It's not like I'm only running weird pinpoint removal spells from back in Mercadian Masks. You know, my white decks have Swords to Plowshares. I'm like, I'm not entirely like doing this like a hipster. I also want to run some obvious good cards when they're effective at winning games, for sure. I mean, there are those people out there who are building that Game of Thrones themed deck and have all kinds of bad things in those decks because they're more concerned with hitting that theme than they are with necessarily winning. I do absolutely still want to win. Don't get me wrong. I'm not that selfless of a player where I'm that much of that devoted to doing whatever weird thing I want to do. I still do want to win, for sure.
Another aspect that I really enjoy is that I think that you have this potential tendency to take a look at a commander's either weak or like most potentially ignorable ability and turn that into its biggest strength. Like back in the day, I guess the traditional Vela deck that you would see is very devoted to the Rite of Replication combo, where you copy Vela a bazillion times that creates so many Velas that her, you know, a bunch of the extra copies dies. And each one of them has that life loss ability when your stuff leaves the battlefield to just like clock opponents for a whole bunch of damage. That is not necessarily the thing that you have built around for Vela. Vela also has that intimidate text, and you have built an artifact deck out of it to make all of your artifact creatures basically impossible to block. And the life loss text is kind of almost the incidental thing based off of the way that you are playing it. So when I see Vela, I'm like, ooh, can I make some type of, I don't know, aristocratsy type of deck around that first ability? And when you see Vela, you're like, no, that other thing that Joey looked over, this is the thing I'm going to focus on. That's the thing I'm going to make a whole deck about.
Yeah, oh, definitely. That's definitely something I try to find when I built the deck, is when I'm looking through those old obscure commanders, I'm trying to figure out, okay, what interesting thing can I do with this deck that isn't generally being done for the most part? You know, I just relatively recently built Vito, Thorn of the Dusk Rose, which isn't super popular, but it's not unpopular either. But very much that deck tends to be kind of an aristocrat's deck, where you're like chipping away, doing kind of life gain through that method. And I had all the kind of pieces for a big black mana deck that you often see with something like Draena or whatever. Well, I decided that can work just as well in a Vito deck, because there's so many black X spells. I can just as easily put those into a Drain life or something and get value out of that with Vito. So yeah, that's definitely something I am always looking to do when I see a commander, is to find a way to implement it in a way that you probably aren't often seeing.
Well, and two, like you commit to like whatever you are trying to do, whether it is your Vela deck or it is your Sigarda deck, even like you have that as a Sigarda Enchantress deck, like you don't even play Sol Ring because to you that feels, how do you say, like disingenuous maybe, or it feels just like it's cheating. So just how you commit to any given theme that you're doing, it's always really impressive to watch too.
Oh, thank you very much. And that's also a way to control power. Like if right. I have some really strict baked in restriction on a deck, it does immediately give me a roadblock and is going to keep the power in check, which also that lets me, I love tweaking decks. Like we joke about how often Joey and I make changes compared to you, Matt, but I enjoy making changes at X2. Like that's part of the fun of Commander for me is finding those little tweaks here or there. And by building in some sort of a, like a hard and fast rule for myself, I can still tweak things and like twist those screws without crossing some power threshold for the most part that makes it difficult to play with the average kind of pod.
I want to circle back a little bit to you talking about how much you really enjoy building decks, but like... And something that Matt said too kind of made me remember. I in fact, we're going to have to throw this image in the YouTube version of this podcast of your deck building murder boards.
Sure.
The red string, they're all like propped up on some cork board on the wall or whatever, and you've connected these threads between all of these cards. It is a thing to watch. It gives you a little bit of Pepe Silvia vibes, like it is.
And it's fun to do. It's fun. Like that's part of it too. Like the putting that up and making that goofy murder board, it's also somewhat useful, but of course there's easier ways to do that digitally. But the fact that I've been doing that for all of my decks for the last like 2 years or so is fun too. It's part of the process now. It's like part of the ritual. I brew a new deck. I get to that point. I put it up on the murder board. I kind of take a look at the connections and see if I feel like I need something else. It's all part of the process that's fun for me. And if you're not enjoying this, find a way to enjoy it, I would say. And then like that's part of my fun.
It is hilarious to see. But now, you know, we've showered some praise on your deck building habits and, ooh, this is interesting. And, oh, the way that you brew or whatever. But we have to address the fact that, Dana, you have an Edric deck and a Talrand deck too. And both of those commanders have over 1,000 decks on EDH Rec. How do you live with yourself? This must be torture for you, dude.
It's rough. Now, in my defense, those are probably two of my earliest decks. So I wasn't probably as concerned about like trying to take the path least taken back in the day as I maybe am today. I don't think I would build either of those two decks today, but I honestly wish they were a little more obscure. I'm not gonna lie.
Well, but even then too, like the way that you've built Talrand is not counterspell Talrend. Like, I think a lot of us hear Talrend and we think, oh, that's a lot of counterspells in that deck. And you're like, no, it's a flying deck. This is the most aggro deck in my stable, actually.
Well, I mean, the Edric one is, but I don't really play it very often. But yes, of the decks I have, Talrend very much is, I mean, it's a token deck functionally.
Right.
Casting weird, oftentimes not very good cantrips that hopefully will draw me a cantrip, that'll hopefully draw me a cantrip to make enough drakes to swarm in and kill people. So I was, you know, in my own way, even back when I built that deck, you know, 6 years ago or whatever it was, I was trying to find a way to build it that was, fun and different and created an experience. Like, I think I've mentioned this in the past, talking about what I enjoy about the game, and in getting a good story as part of that. Mm-hmm. Whether it's somebody winning in a weird way or whatever that would be. Well, maybe part of that also, I think, for me is to try to like show off a neat deck that is an experience. You know, I can think of the situations when I've sat down and someone has busted out their Atraxa horror tribal deck or something. That's an experience. I remember that specific game, and I do think part of it is also to try to make an experience for somebody else, to show them something interesting or different. And that does, I think, at least for me, make for a good time. And so I hope it does that a little bit for other people as well.
Well, and those decks that you talk about where like it's everything's an experience. Mm-hmm. I think of all three of us and all the games that we've played together, if it comes down to like one person has to make a play to save the game, you can always count on your decks being the ones that like lead to that massive moment of, I'm going to cast seven spells this turn trying to find an answer, or like somehow you do find the answer. And like, it's because of just in general, the way you build your decks, like you're all like, it leads up to this one massive moment. And like, there are countless moments in games with you because of just the way that you build your decks leading to those experiences.
I think most interesting for me about going through this small Rec Room series for the three of us is also discovering what aspect of the game resonates the most with us personally. For Matt, it was definitely like he has the most fun when he turns things sideways.
Yes.
For me, it is when I cheat stuff into play. And for you, Dana, it is when someone leans over the table and says, I'm sorry, what card did you just play?
Yeah, for sure. No, absolutely. Or that does what with that card?
Well, and to take it a step further too, I think it's, I play to experience something. I want to like have those moments that like I'm sitting there laughing at myself. And Joey, you build your decks because you want to navigate the situation and outbuild and outplay people. And then Dana's like, I want to show off how creative I am while still being able to maintain a winning percentage. So yeah, being able to do this little mini series, as it were, like it has been fun just to like remind ourselves of the way that each of us work. Because it is fun just to like stay self-aware about your own deck building habits, you know, on the individual level.
Yeah, and seeing how other people do it too is a really good way to kind of get a little perspective on your own. I think it was very useful for me to think about this going third after having already had this discussion with you two. Like having that compare, that thing to compare and contrast against, I think was very helpful. Mm-hmm. So this is the kind of thing actually I feel like as an exercise probably isn't a bad idea for close play groups, just to kind of do for fun over, you know, pizza and a beer once you're able to do that again. I think it's a fun conversation to have for sure.
Yeah, like by examining my own strategy or by examining, you know, the things that Matt really enjoys doing, I am also implicitly asking myself, well, why isn't that something that I enjoy doing? And I am more closely examining the things that I enjoy and the reasons for it, because I was just like, there's a lot of ways in which I can just be like, haha, big creature out of the graveyard, go brr. But like, it is actually more interesting to see the reasons why I'm attracted to the certain commanders that I build. And to maybe break out of that a little bit, like to also flex around with it will be kind of interesting, because like to try and adopt your style is something that I'm now interested in doing. To swing more with creatures the way that Matt does is something that I am actually a little bit more interested in doing after this whole exercise too, because I'm like, I want to see how the other half lives a little bit, because I definitely get comfortable in my own ways of deck building, but there's a ton of room to grow by trying out these new strategies, which are super awesome to hear you guys talk about the way that the process works for each of you.
No, yeah, definitely. Because like the same holds true for me, but by immediately like discarding X amount of popular commanders from things I'm going to consider brewing, you know, like I said, I wouldn't have built Talrend today. Well, that means I would have lost out on building a fun deck by just dismissing it because it has already, you know, 1,000 decks or whatever it is that are brewed up in the database. So that's definitely something that I've kind of thought about too, and have the discussion as I'm probably shortchanging myself once in a while by being that obstinate about it.
Well, so now, Dana, here's the real question, of course. Like, we've talked about some of your commanders and stuff like that, but what happens if one of your currently very unpopular, you know, not a whole lot of decks to their name commanders, what if like you wake up tomorrow and they've got like 1,200, 2,000 decks to the name? What are you going to do? What are you going to do when that happens?
Become wildly uncomfortable.
I think it'll be more of a waving Dana's cane and saying, get off my porch.
You kids, get away from my decks.
Quit playing my decks.